Welcome back to our Tanakh Study Center series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. In today's year, we study Perek Tetvav, Chapter 15. Chapter 15 begins with an answer to Yirmiyahu's question from the end of Chapter 14, questioning whether God has totally despised his people. Is there any chance that maybe he'll change his mind and not bring upon this destruction? To our surprise, as we saw in the end of last year, God tells Yirmiyahu, don't pray for them and nothing will help. We'll begin again from Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Hashem Elai, Im Yamon Moshe Ushmuel Lefanai, even if great prayers and leaders, as Moshe and Shmuel, interceded on behalf of the people to God, and God answered them, if they would stand in front of me today, Ei Nafshi El Amazeh, I'm not willing to forgive these people, Shalach Me'al Panai Ve'itzeu, I'm sending them away from my face, and let them go. Vayakim Ru Elecha Ananetzeh, and should they ask, where are we going to? Where are you sending us to? God gives a very difficult answer. The Amat Alehem, tell them, Kol Ma Adonai, Asher Lamavet Lamavet. Those who are going to die, let them die. Asher Lacherev, Lacherev. Those by sword, they'll die by sword. Asher Larav, Larav. Those by famine, by famine. Asher Lashvi, Lashvi. Those going to captivity, let them become captives. Ufakarati Alehem Arba Mishpachot Num Adonai. God's going to send upon them four families of punishment. Et Acherev L'Harog. First will come the sword to kill them. And then after everyone's dead, Vet HaKlavim Lischov, then dogs are going to come and carry the bodies away. Vet Of HaShamayim Vet Behemat HaAretz Lecho U'LaHashchit. And then the birds of prey from heaven and animals in the land are going to come and eat up the dead bodies and destroy them. U'Tatim L'Zava, I'm going to give these people to horror. L'Chom HaMlechot HaAretz, in front of all the different nations of the land. And what's the reason for all this? Biglam Menashe Ben Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. All of this is because of the sins of Menashe, the son of Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, and what he did in Yerushalayim. Now, the question is, why is God saying that I'm punishing them for the sins of the time period of Menashe, when now we're a generation later? Menashe indeed was king for some 50 years, and there was a Gzar Din, there was a decree of destruction during his lifetime, which we're going to go back and read very soon. But after Menashe, we had the reign of Amon for 2 years, then Yoshiah was king for some 30 years. We're late in the reign of Yoshiah here, maybe even in the reign of Yehoiakim in this parak. But for some reason, we're being punished for the sins of Menashe. But Yoshiah did tshuva, and that's how we began our whole series on Sefer Yirmiyahu, how the tshuva movement of Yoshiah began after Menashe. So why is God saying I'm punishing him for the sins of Menashe? So let's take a look in the book of Divrei Yamim, in Perak Lamed Gimel, chapter 33 in Divrei Yamim. And again, almost the exact same wording as in Perachaf Aleph and Sefer Melachim Bet. We're told that Menashe was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 55 years. And then we're told in Pasuk Bet, Vayasara b'nei Adonai, ketoavot ha-goyim asher horish Adonai b'pnei b'nei Yisrael. He did evil things in the eyes of God, just like the abominations of the nations that God kicked out of the land of Israel for our sake. This opening line is repeated towards the end. In Pasuk Tet, it says, Vayeta Menashet Yehuda v'yoshvei Yerushalayim, that Menashe led the people of Yehuda and the inhabitants of Yerushalayim astray. Lasot ra min hagoyim asher yishmid Adonai b'pnei b'nei Yisrael. He caused them to act in a way worse than the nations who God kicked out of the land because of B'nei Yisrael. Now, in between, we have a whole list of terrible things that Menashe did, including all forms of idol worship. But that general introduction, that the behavior of Am Yisrael in the time of Menashe is worse than the nations that God had kicked out for our sake, can give a bit of an indication of what it is that they're doing wrong. If the whole reason why God chose his people was to be a model nation, and if the whole reason why we have a Mikdash is to represent our connection to God, God is telling his people that if you're doing a poor job representing me, yet at the same time you're claiming to be my people, God can't allow that to continue. If we simply look at this from a marketing perspective, if the reason for God's choice of his people was to make his name known and to bring a message to mankind, then if the core behavior of the people in their day-to-day lives remains disgusting, if the people aren't acting properly with one another, if that's the situation, God's saying, how are you better than things were before? Throughout Chumash, especially in Vayikra Perek Yitchet, God says, I'm kicking those nations out because of their bad behavior, and I'm giving you the land in order to act properly. But if we're not acting properly in the land, God says, I can't leave you there. I have to send you into rehabilitation. I have to bring some destruction, send you out, teach you a lesson, and then bring you back. We're going to see this theme repeated in the chapters to come. So when God's saying that he's punishing them in the time of Yoshiel, or the time of Yehoiakim, for the sins of Menashe, he's not saying that right now everything is fine, and back then they were bad, and simply I'm punishing them for an earlier generation. He's saying that the sins of the time of Menashe, you have not uprooted yet. You claim to be doing tshuva, you claim to be repenting, but your repentance is not complete, it's not serious, it's only external. Your core behavior is still bad, and you're still acting worse than the nations that got kicked out. And therefore, the decree of destruction from the time of Menashe is still remaining. Now we return to Yirmiyahu, Perek Tetvav, Pasuk Hey. Ki mi yachmol alayich Yerushalayim umiyad nudlach? Who's going to have pity on you, Yerushalayim? And who's going to shake his head because of you? Umiyasur lishol lishlom lach? Who's going to come and check how you're doing? At netasht oti, you abandoned me, numa Adonai. Achor telechi. That's saying you've abandoned me, you've gone backwards. Va'at et yadi alayich, I'm going to stretch my hand out against you. Tashchitech, I'm going to destroy you. Nil'eti hinachem, no longer going to have mercy and change my mind and not destroy you. I've been warning you and then changing my mind and giving you another chance. God's saying, now I can no longer give you any more chances. Nil'eti hinachem. Ve'ezrein b'mizre, b'sharei ha'aretz. God's comparing the way that we're going to scatter, like a farmer takes a winnowing fork and puts it into the straw, lifting it up in the air, hoping that the straw will go away and the grain stay down below. In that manner, God's going to scatter us around b'sharei ha'aretz, cities of different nations. Shikalti ibadeti et ami. An av shakul is a parent who loses a child. I'm going to cause you to lose your children. Ibadeti et ami, I'm going to destroy my people. Midachachem lo shavu. Why? Because they haven't returned from the bad ways. God's going to continue now and describe how terrible this destruction is going to be. Again, Yirmiyahu is saying these things to impress upon the people how bad the punishment is about to be if they don't take this last warning and return properly. Pasachet, atzmuli amonotav michol yamin. There'll be so many amonot, there'll be so many widows, there'll be more numerous than the sand of the sea. Now that phrase, michol yamin, reminds us of kechol hayam, like we have after the Akedah, when God promises Avram Avinu that he's going to make Avram's seed numerous, kechochvei ha-shamayim, like the stars of the heaven, ukecho asher sfat hayam, and like the sand on the seashore. Here we have the opposite imagery, but the same idea. That just like God had promised that one day Abram's offspring will be numerous like the sand of the sea, now its widows will be so numerous like the sand of the sea. Probably that imagery here is intentional to highlight the contrast between what could have been and what's going to be now because of their deeds. Heveti lehem al-aim bachur shodid b'tzaraim. I brought upon them, and either upon the mother of a young man, of an aim bachor, that some translators explain that way, or I'll aim on the name, on the city, aim might be referring to the capital city, and the robber coming is bachur shodei b'tzaraim. The robber coming to destroy them in the middle of the day will be someone young. Either way, it's referring to someone coming and destroying them and wiping out their city. Hipalti alev pitom, they're going to come upon you suddenly. Ir ubehalot. Behala in modern day Hebrew is like a nightmare. Terror and fear is going to come together with this enemy who's going to come very suddenly and attack the country. Umlala yoledet hashiva. Umla is someone sad and in despair. A lady giving birth to 7 children will be distraught for whatever reason. Nafcha nafsha. Her soul will be in total despair. Bashim sha, the sun setting on her. Ba'od yamam, while it's still day. Busha v'chafira. She's embarrassed and ashamed. Usheritam lecher v'tein lifnei oveihem numa Adonai. Those left over are going to be given to the sword. That's what God has to say. Why you let it shiva? Who are these 7 children that we're talking about? So Rashi and a lot of other commentators bring down is talking about the 7 bad kings of the northern tribes. The other possibility is talking about 7 bad kings of Yehuda, even though there's more than that. Or it could be simply a mother with a lot of children, and shiva might be a lashon of someone with a lot of children. Maybe also referring to the Tochacha and Sefer Vayikra, where the number 7 is repeated many times. But in either case, this pasuk is again describing the sadness and the distraught and the terrible situation that's going to be when Bavel comes and brings destruction upon the city. In light of this prophecy and prediction, Yirmiyahu is going to complain to God about the situation that he's in. Pasuk Yod. Oy li imi ki lidini. Yirmiyahu is saying woe to his mother who gave birth to him. Yirmiyahu is complaining about the situation that he's in, having to give all these prophecies of doom. Ishriv ish madon l'chol ha'aretz. I'm the man who everyone quarrels and fights with, the whole land. No one likes Yirmiyahu. Everyone fights with him. They don't believe him. They don't want to listen to him. And he has to put up with all this. He explains, no nashiti v'lo nashuvi, kulo mekalalani. I don't owe anyone money. I don't borrow from anybody. They don't owe me money. That's usually a reason why people argue. No one's arguing with me over money, over debts. He's neither a borrower or a lender, he's saying. And nonetheless, they curse me. They're not cursing me because of my business deals. They're cursing me because of my prophecies. Everyone hates him. God answers him back. Amar Adonai, im lo sheritich letov, I've left you over for good. Don't complain so much. Im lo yivgati b'cha, I've intervened on your behalf. Beit ra'al veit sarah etayev. When things are bad, in times of despair, I've intervened on your behalf and saved you from the enemy. Now, this seems to be a bit of an interjection in the middle of the main topic. God's going to now return to talk about how bad the destruction is going to be. Pasuk Yudbet, Hayora Barzel, Barzel Mitzafon Unechoshet. Can regular Barzel, can regular iron stand a fight with iron which is mixed together with Nechoshet and iron from the north which seems to be much stronger? God seems to be saying that the people, either referring to Egypt against Bavel or Israel against Bavel, Bavel is referred to as iron mixed together with Nechoshet. A better blend of iron. He's saying, how can your iron fight the iron of Bavel? Meaning, it's a lost cause. All your produce and everything that you've stored up is going to be looted without even paying a price. Your enemy's going to come and loot everything from you. All because of all your sins, and this is going to happen within all your borders. Your enemies are going to take you out and move you to a land that you don't even know, you've never seen before. Ki esh katcha ba'api alechem tukad. This fire is kindled. I'm angry with you, and my burning fire of anger is going to consume you. Then Yirmiyahu turns to God again and says as follows. Pasuk Tedvav, verse 15. Ata yadata Adonai, zochreini ufogdeini, v'nakem li mirotfai, ale erech apcha tikacheni. Das eiti alecha chepa. Now Yirmiyahu is asking the other side. So you're not going to save your people. Yirmiyahu is asking at least that God should help him. He says, God, you know, to remember me and save me from those who are chasing me. Yirmiyahu is being chased by his enemies and he's suffering from this. And Yirmiyahu is saying, you should know that I'm carrying your shame all the time. Everyone's making fun of me and complaining about me. They all plot to kill me. Most of his life, Yirmiyahu is going to be in hiding. And here Yirmiyahu is asking that God intervene on his behalf and save him from this plight that he's in. Yirmiyahu continues in his complaint. Pasuk Tetzayin, Nimtzu dvarecha v'ochleim. Whenever you give me your prophecy, when you tell me your words, I eat them in a positive sense. I say them. I accept them. V'hi dvarecha li l'sason l'simchat levavi. Your words, for me, are happiness. I'm glad to say them. I'm glad to deliver your message. Ki nikra shimcha alai. Your name is attributed to me. Hashem Elohi Tzvot. Lo yashavti b'sod mesachakim ve'elos. I wasn't sitting with people having fun and having a wonderful time and being merry. Yirmiyahu is saying, I have no social life. I have no one to spend time with, no one to have fun with. I'm sitting alone because I've been representing you and no one likes me. And the reason why I'm sitting alone is because you filled me up with prophecies of anger and punishment. Why is my pain continuing and lasting so long? My wound is incurable. It can't be healed. This last line, though, Yirmiyahu seems to be angry with God. He tells him, you've been from me like a river that has no water. A nachal achzav is a riverbed with no water flowing in it. When you go to that riverbed, you're expecting and hoping to find water, expecting someone to come and help you, and that person not coming to help you, it's very disappointing. Like in modern day Hebrew, achzava is a disappointment. So Yirmiyahu is saying, Hayoli kamo achzav, you've been for me a disappointment. Maim lom nemanu, like waters that aren't faithful, that aren't coming and giving water when you expect them. Yirmiyahu is complaining again to God about a situation that he's in. He wants God to help him. God's going to answer him back now in a very harsh way. Pasuk Yetet, Lachen kol mar Adonai. Here's what God tells him. Im tashuv vashivcha lefanai tamod. If you repent and say you're sorry for what you told me, I'll bring you back in front of me, and you can stand and continue to represent me. V'im totzi yakar mizolel. If you're able to make an honorable person out of someone who's a glutton, a zolel is a glutton. Yakar seems to be the opposite. Someone who's dear to God. if Yirmiyah was able to turn the people around, then kefitia, you'll be my spokesperson, you'll be my mouthpiece. Yeshuvu hema elecha, but they need to return to you, v'ata lo teshuv aleihem. You don't go to them, they have to come to you. God's telling Yirmiyahu, continue to deliver my word. Continue to try to get them to repent properly. Don't give up. And they're going to continue to complain about you, but don't go to their side. You remain faithful to me, and I'll stick up for you. If you continue to deliver my word and try to get them to repent properly, to make honorable people out of them, then pasachaf, untaticha la'amazeh, I'll give you to this people, l'chomat nechoshet b'tzura. You'll be like a strong, powerful wall of copper. V'nechamu elecha, v'lo yichlu lach. They'll try to fight you, but you won't, they won't be able to defeat you. Ki itcha ani, lo shi'acha, u'latzilecha, l'madonai. God's saying, I'll be with you to save you and protect you. That's God's reassurance to Yirmiyahu, that despite all the complaints, and despite the situation that he's in, with the people wanting to kill him, God will protect him. V'tzalticha miyad ra'im. I'll save you from these evil people. Uftiticha mikaf aritzim. I'll rescue you from the hand of the wicked, and I'll redeem you from the hand of the powerful. Again, we find another parak in Yirmiyahu where the outlook is very bleak. We still don't seem to have an answer why God isn't answering his people's prayers this time, other than the fact that he's answered them so many times before, and even though they promised to repent, the repentance has never been complete, and God seems to be saying, I need to do something very harsh, very strong, because even though the people think they're repenting, it's not nearly enough, and if I don't bring a terrible punishment, they'll never realize my true expectations from them. God's answer to this bigger question of why he's not giving them another chance will continue in the next set of chapters as well.